Blog Talk Radio.
His name is Malik Zulu Shabazz. Malik Zulu Shabazz.
It is indeed my honor and great joy and privilege to be invited by Brother and Dr. Malik Zulu Shabazz, who is one of the greatest student leaders of all time.
I'm talking about terrorism now. We want a war on terrorism. The war on terrorism should have started 400 years ago. Bring the flag, brother. Bring the flag.
Bring the flag.
Bring. Because I'm here to tell you that false patriotism will not get you out of this. Holding a bandana flag around your head will not get you out of this. Huh? Flag on your antenna in your car will not get you out of this. You might be saying, God bless America. But when did America ever bless God? You might be saying, God bless America. But God might be damning America at this very hour.
What's all this shit I see on here about harassment and all that bullshit, rap for power? You sumbitches, get out and get a goddamn job and make a constructive citizen out of yourself and stop all this bullshit. You wouldn't have to have no fucking rally for power. You got that message, motherfucker?
Black power. Black power and more black power to my people. This is your brother, your comrade in arms, a soldier in the war with you, Sean Kwali. I'm broadcasting live once again to you from the hells and the smells of North America. And as always, we count this a privilege, a blessing, a joy, and an honor to be broadcasting live to you from this platform that we call and know of as Black Power Radio. And we have to, of course, give our representation and our thanks on behalf of the national chairman of the new Black Panther Party for Self-Defense. We're talking about Dr. and Attorney Malik Zulu Shabazz, the national chairman of the new Black Panther Party. We send you blessings of peace and greetings and black power to those of you who are in the listening audience. And no matter if this is your first time, your second time, third time, or you are a faithful listener of this broadcast, we welcome you to this hour that the Honorable Dr. Khalid Abdul Muhammad would say is the truth hour. He would say, buckle your seatbelts. He would say, fasten your seatbelts tight. Sit tight, sit low. And if the cabin becomes depressurized, the oxygen mask will come down. And you must strap the mask on yourself and also strap the mask on the person next to you and resuscitate yourself, because this is going to be an actual fact, fire, breathing fire dynamic coming to you live tonight. We're talking about the war against the Panthers. The war against the Panthers. And I don't know who in the hell said we're not in a war. If you've heard that kind of talk, you've lost your mind. We're in 2010, going into 2011 by the grace of God. And I'm telling you, as the creator and the God and the ancestors is my witness, I'm telling you, we are in a war right now. And many of you sitting back, you're waiting on the physical war. You're waiting on the bullets. You're waiting on the bombs. You're waiting on this and that. And I'm telling you, that ain't how the war starts. The war starts the way it's happening right now, through propaganda. The war starts through information. The war starts through confrontation on a level that is unseen before it gets to the physical confrontation. And so, hell, we ain't doing nothing but walking the pages of history. Dr. Malik Zulu Shabazz, your brother Sean Kwali, the new Black Panther Party for Self-Defense, we are walking the pages of history. And so we are walking in the footsteps of the Black Panther Party of the 1960s, Minister Huey P. Newton, Brother Bobby Seale, Eldridge Cleaver, Elaine Brown, Angela Davis, Asada Shakur, Fannie Shakur. We're walking the pages of history, family. If you can't see it for yourself, you're blind as a bat. You're blind as a bat. The counterintelligence program, the COINTELPRO, ain't nothing but a modern day. It's a modern day Homeland Security. It's modern day Patriot Act. The counterintelligence, the COINTELPRO is modern day Patriot Act, all right? And so if you're looking for the throwback versions of these programs, you're behind the times. As the Black Power General, let me say that we come in his spirit. Don't be fooled and don't be beguiled. We come in the spirit of the Black Power General, Dr. Khalid Abdul Muhammad, Ashe. We come in his spirit, and as he taught us, he said, some of you say that the white man hasn't changed. He said, some of you say the white man ain't changed. He said, yeah, the white man has changed. He said the white man's more slicker, more quicker, more beguiling, huh? And so, yeah, today, COINTELPRO, the counterintelligence program of the United States government, it has changed into the Patriot Act. And the Patriot Act now today is designed to rob anybody in America of their rights, what they consider their rights to protect themselves, their rights to speak out, their right to have a say-so in this society. That's what it's designed to do. The Patriot Act now is designed to have warrantless searches to where they're able to come into your home without a warrant, without probable cause, without a necessary reason, and enact terrorism on you, dear brother and sister. And so this, and it's more to it than that. But just for the backdrop and for the background, we're telling you now that COINTELPRO that was initiated by J. Edgar Hoover is nothing but the modern day Patriot Act waged on black people and defenseless people in terms of homeland security. And so here we are in a war. It is straight up war, war against the new Black Panther Party. The United States government straight up destroyed, militarily destroyed the military force and military might of the Black Panther Party. Militarily destroyed, militarily mangled the mighty force of the Black Panther Party that came out of Oakland, California from 1966. Militarily moved through spy tactics, through espionage, through subversive activity, militarily usurped the force of the Black Panther Party of the 1960s. And so ultimately, by the time you hit the mid-70s, going off into the early 80s, the Black Panther Party of the 1960s was all the way but wiped out. You had a remnant here and a remnant there, but the Black Panther Party of the 1960s was all the way decimated. And so by the grace of God, we were able to spring up from Dallas, Texas. We sprung up from Dallas, Texas in 1989, right as Minister Huey P. Newton met assassination. We sprung up in 89, bringing the spirit of the Panther back to the face and back to the scope of the hills of North America. And since 1989, we have brought this truth live in your face, live in your place, and live in your homes. We brought organizational methods live to the street, block by block, city by city, and country by country. We ain't stopped since 1989. And some people want to act brand new, like we just sprung up yesterday, because you might have caught the national chairman on Fox News or Fox News. You might have seen him on CNN or CNN. You might have seen him on that, and you think we just sprung up. No, we've been rolling since 1989, all right? And so when the Honorable Dr. Khalid Abdul Muhammad became the national chairman from 98 until 2001, he spread this message across the globe, and that torch and that manner was picked up by his number one student, Dr. Malik Zulu Shabazz. We didn't just start out of no vacuum, but since we sprung up in 89, there has been an orchestrated attack, a systematic attack to remove the new Black Panther Party from the face of the American scene and the face of the world in general. There has been a systematic effort put in place by certain leaders in government and certain people that's dissatisfied with the revolutionary movement, the progressive movement of black power that has been a systematic effort to destroy the work of the Panther from the face of the planet Earth. When you read about it, you read oftentimes in these books, you read about a distorted message of not only the Black Panther Party, but you read about it in terms of new Black Panther Party. When you look in the history books for the history on the Black Panther Party, Minister Huey P. Newton and the rest, you read a distorted history of the BPP. You read a twisted version of the BPP. You don't get the actual fact, history, and herstory that is supposed to get on the Black Panther Party. Anytime that you go to these college campuses and read these old Uncle Tom Negro books, for the most part, for the latter part, it's always a twisted history and a twisted herstory on the Black Panther Party. And so I tell all of you that if you want to get the real deal, you got to go straight to the source. If you want to get the real deal on the new Black Panther Party for self-defense, you got to go straight to the source. How dare you let Bill O'Reilly, huh? That old funny Bill O'Reilly, how dare you let him tell the story of the new Black Panther Party and you accept his story as authenticated source for new Black Panther? How dare you try to take that old witch, Megyn Kelly's her thoughts and her mindset on the new Black Panther Party as the authenticated source for the new Black Panther Party. You have lost your mind. The enemy will not tell the truth about the new Black Panther Party. The enemy will not tell the truth about Dr. Malik Zulu Shabazz. The enemy will not tell the truth about the Honorable Dr. Khalid Abdul Muhammad. Hell, the enemy ain't even told the truth about you. They still kick the same old lie, the same bullish that you came from Ham, that you're a cursed people, that we were three-fifths of a human being, and all this madness. They kick that right now today. So what makes you believe that they would tell you the truth about freedom fighters, those who are not bowing to the status quo, those who are not pro-establishment, those who are not integrationists, those who don't give a damn about what's happening with the winter saturnalia or what they consider Christmas and all. We don't give a damn about none of that. We care about the liberation and salvation of black people. Don't come to us talking that old integrationist talk. Don't talk it to us because you don't know what you're talking about. How can you even talk about being amongst any other people and our people are destroyed? Black people are destroyed. Our communities are in shambles. Our homes are in shambles. Our villages and our towns are at war. We are in a hell of a condition. We are in a terrible condition. We're in a brutal condition, and we don't know which way to turn. Our leaders have punked out for the most part. Most any leader you can name on the scene, they've punked out. They've got a plan in the backdrop. They're getting paid in the backdrop. They talking soft in the backdrop. They won't speak to the condition, and they damn sure won't organize to the condition. They've punked out. They've sold out, and most of them are sissified as hell. Most of them, as the Honorable Dr. Khalid Abdul Muhammad taught, they bend over and give evil an opening. They bend over and give evil an opening. They do not want to see black power for real. They ain't talking no land talk. They ain't talking no nationalism. They ain't talking no revolutionary pan-Africanism. They ain't talking about joining up with the progressive revolutionaries on the mother country and bringing it to these crackers and these peckerwoods in a revolutionary fashion. They ain't talking about that. They just talking about that old integrationist talk. We shall overcome. Let us all get along. Let's not disturb nobody. Let's not rock the boat. No, the hell with that. They ain't getting us free, black man and black woman. We're going off into 2011, and our babies are still in these killing fields. Many of us still have to work on these plantations and work for our enemy. We're getting pimped on our job. Uncle Sam taking his taxes off the top. We're getting taxated with no representation. You can't get no justice in the courts. You can't get a proper attorney to represent you in these courts. You know what I mean? Unless they're a progressive revolutionary attorney. I'm telling you, it's twisted, it's sick, and it's systemic, and it's destroying our people in our very minds. It's destroying us in our minds, and it's destroying our bodies. They put all these processed foods at it for us to eat. It's making us sick, putting us to an early grave. Then they give you pills and medicine that sends you quicker to an early grave. They won't teach you holistic African medicine and practice to teach you how to cure disease, to teach you how to cure the sickness. They won't tell you none of that. Only thing they're going to do is make a profit off of us. And as long as we're ignorant, disorganized, and disunified, they will continue to make a profit off of us. We are in a war, brothers and sisters. And the new Black Panther Party is at the forefront. The new Black Panther Party is at the forefront. We are public enemy number one to this cracker. We are public enemy number one to this beast. They have already said, the national chairman had already told y'all, they had already said that their number one aim going into 2011 would be to destroy the new Black Panther Party. Some of y'all thought that that was a joke. You thought that we were just playing, we were just saying it, trying to hype you up. No, we're not hyping you up, brother and sister. This is real. Their number one aim is to destroy the new Black Panther Party. Well, what was their aim in the 60s? Their aim was to totally destroy the Black Panther Party. They say that they wanted to stop the rise of the Black Messiah. They wanted to stop the youth from uniting with Black nationalist organizations or organizations that would teach the youth about themselves and give them a will to fight and resist. That was the aim. That was written in the program. That was the mandate that J. Edgar Hoover had put out for his people and their organizational objective and goals in terms of their program. It was to stop the youth and to stop Black nationalism and stop the rise of that Black Messiah. So right now, when they see the Black Messiah or the Black Messiahs who they believe are poking up and peering their heads out, what do you think they're going to do? They got to move to crush. They got to move to stop. They got to move to neutralize. And they can't do it in the same manner they did it in the 60s because we in modern times. We got modern technology. Huh? We got modern methods, so they can't do it the same way. You had other revolutionaries who exposed that program, exposed COINTELPRO. Before then, it was unknown to the world. Before the revolutionaries moved to expose COINTELPRO, it was unknown to the world. And so they can't move in the same cloak of darkness as if they're unknown. They got to move in a different way. So they fight you with a silent war. They fight you with informational war. They fight you with improper propaganda. They fight you with slander campaigns. They fight you with jailing your leaders. They fight you with making your war treasury weak. And they fight you with all kind of ways. But it's still the same old program, just under a new name, brother and sister. Same old program. And so I'm saying it like this. We failed. Our community failed the Black Panther Party in the 1960s. And in many respects, our predecessors, the BPP, even failed themselves unknowingly. We failed ourselves because we turned on ourselves. We allowed the enemy to turn, you know, Huey against Eldridge and Eldridge against Huey and this one against that one and the East Coast faction of the BPP warring against the West Coast faction and the South warring against the North and this, that, and the other. We allowed the Willie Lynch mentality to creep up in the Black Panther Party, and ultimately it made it easier for the enemy and for the power structure to move and usurp our authority in the Black community. Same thing in every other Black organization in the world. Every other Black organization in the world, and especially in this country, we allow the Willie Lynch mentality to destroy our efforts every single time. Every single time we make some progress and we make some advance towards liberation, we allow the Willie Lynch mentality to creep up. And so here we have to look at the pages of history. We got to look at the pages of history and see where we have made mistakes. We got to first be analytical thinkers. You got to be willing to be an analytical thinker if you intend to make any progress. And so we have to be willing to say, yes, we made mistakes in the past. Yes, we allowed agents and provocateurs to move amongst us unchecked, And we allowed them to cause mischief without anybody stepping to the forefront to deal with somebody like a Gene Roberts or dealing with somebody like a William O'Neill. Yes, we made mistakes. Yes, it has cost lives. Yes, our inactivity has cost somebody like Mumia Abdul-Jabbar to sit in a cell unjustly because the people have not rallied hard enough to free this man from that concentration camp. Yes, others like Rushiel McGee and others, yes, we let you sit in that cell. Okay, we got to be analytical. But after being analytical, we must decide what we're going to do after knowing we have made some mistakes. We have lost some of our political prisoners behind the concentration walls. We've lost some. Some have went on to the realm of the Agoon, passed on, transcended. We have lost them because we have not organized for their freedom. If it were not for the BLA and the efforts of those that were in Bloc, Sister Asada Shakur, she'd be sitting there right now. She'd be sitting there right now if it was not for the efforts of the BLA and Bloc. I mean, I'm just think about that. She would still be there without her daughter, without her family, without none of that. She'd be right there if the revolutionaries did not organize to get her free. And so I'm just telling you like this, that it's the same with the rest of our political prisoners. Some of us are so staunch on the right to vote, on the right for political process, but voting and the political process, the plantation political process, never freed an Asada Shakur. It never freed a Mumia Abdul-Jabbar. It never freed any of our political prisoners and our prisoners of war that sit behind enemy lines. It has never done that. Hell, that old beast Schwarzenegger, hell, he wouldn't even pardon Tookie Williams. Stanley Tookie Williams, he wouldn't even pardon Tookie. Tookie had completely reformed his life after being in a different environment, after reading General George Jackson and Blood in My Eye and other revolutionary books. Stanley Tookie Williams completely reformed his life and was willing to go to the neighborhoods and the blocks and the streets and the towns where his version of the Crip organization had begun to self-implode on itself and begin to be about black capitalism and black dollars instead of about black self-defense and black protection and black unity as was in its original inception. Stanley Tookie Williams was willing to go back and turn the brothers and sisters around. He was willing to go back and tell the brothers and sisters that the direction that the organization was going in was not the correct direction, that it was not the way that it was set up in the beginning. This is what Stanley Tookie Williams had already said, what he had already wrote, what he had already admitted, that the direction that the street tribes were going in was not the direction that it's going in today. But that the reason why that the so-called gangs are going in the direction that they were going in was because of CIA influence, because of the advent of crack cocaine that was put into the community, pumped into the community, and because of the advent of guns that were left in the black community. That is why that you have the Bloods and the Crips and other organizations that are banging and blowing away each other because of black capital. This is what Stanley Tookie Williams had already said. But even in saying that, and even in his epiphany, that was not enough for that old beast Arnold Schwarzenegger to pardon him or to let him free. Even with the outcry from street tribe members and gang, so-called gang members who loved him and who were influenced by him, even by political members and even members and certain members in Congress and rappers and everything, that was not enough to get Stanley Tookie Williams up out of incarceration. And ultimately, he died. They murdered him. Because they knew that if this man would get out and give the correct message, he would take an organization that was going in the wrong direction and guide it into a movement, into a revolutionary movement that would turn the black community upside down and inside out. So that to where now you have a man like Lil Wayne who's going around propagating the gang, the Blood Street Tribe, instead of propagating the negative aspects of black-on-black violence and black-on-black capitalism, it would be a united organization based upon the protection of the black man and black woman and black child in the hills of North America. They don't want that kind of message on the streets. They don't want that kind of unity on the streets. They don't want that kind of belief on the streets. And so they killed the man through lethal injection. Now, here's a man telling you that I will turn around the violence. I'm the one who is the head. I'm the one that's the leader. I'm the one that they will listen to. But they killed the man by lethal injection. Now, what do you think? Then that's just our dear brother Stanley Tookie Williams. May he rest in Yahuru. Huh? That's just our dear brother. Now, what do you think they are after with a man like Mumia Abu-Jamal? A man who you know is intelligent as hell. A man who you know don't compromise, won't take no compromise, and won't take no back deal cuts. A man who you know, if he could organize an organization of black men and black women, it'd be a cool, straight up, one of the coldest organizations you could ever think of. You know this about our comrade Mumia. So do you honestly think that by some electoral process they want to see Mumia free on the streets? Do you think by some electoral process they want this man uniting the minds and hearts of our people to turn them away from degeneracy? Hell no. Do you think they wanted a brother like the Black Power General, Dr. Khalid Abdul-Muhammad, going across religious lines, political lines and barriers, artificial borders to unite our people into a black power army? Do you think that for real? Hell no. Do you think that they really want Dr. and Attorney Malik Zulu Shabazz to lead the people into what Minister Malcolm X called an OAAU? Do you think they want him to do a modern-day OAAU and bring us all together, all people of African descent and the descendants of African slaves? Hell no, they don't want this. And so you know there's a war on the Panther Party. You know there's a war on the New Black Panther Party. And they would like for us to be involved in this war in the dark. They want us to have this war in the dark to where you feel like you have no stake in this war, and it's just a war against the state, against a group of misfits or outlaws or radicals, and we go against the law, so whatever happens to us is what we get because, you know, we should have been in line. That's how they want you to view the thing, okay? It's just like when they was crucifying the so-called Jesus on the cross. They were saying, kill him, because they'd already painted the picture that he was some kind of outlaw, that he was some kind of dissident, and that he was somebody that the people should be afraid of. And so that when the people came to go to the trial, they was calling for the death. They was calling for the murder instead of calling for the murder and the death and the prosecution of the Caesar at that time. And that's a story. It's a metaphor, but it's real for these purposes that they want you to call for the destruction of the New Black Panther Party and paint the picture as though we some kind of racist, we some kind of hate mongers, and we are a people, an organization that has no right to speak to the hurt and the pain of black people. That we are an organization that has no right to talk about what has happened to our people for over 400 years. That we have no right to talk about what our people have experienced on the shores and the hills of North America. But you have every right to talk about the damn Jewish Holocaust, the so-called Jewish Holocaust. You got every right to talk about losing 6 million, approximately 6 million so-called Jews against Hitler and the rest of them, and that was financed by high-priced Jewish people, high-paid, well-paid Jewish people. You got every right to talk about that, but we can't talk about losing over 600 million of our people through the transatlantic slave trade. We can't talk about losing our people right there in West Virginia. We can't talk about losing our people in the Caribbean and the Island Pacific, but you can talk about the so-called Jewish Holocaust? Hell no. We are going through a hell of a course and paying a hell of a cost every single day we live in the hills of North America. The sad part about it is we're not even through experiencing racism. Black people to this very day, with a black president in office, still experience racism. We still get racially profiled. There's a war right now going on right out on the West Coast in Oakland, California, right now in other parts of Cali, in other parts of the world, between the police department, the police authorities, and the people. It is open season against the police department for black people. The black man and woman have no say-so when it comes to police agencies out on the West Coast and other parts of the area. Other parts of the country. We have no say-so. Well, it's open season. It's murder season on our people. It goes past Oscar Grant now. Rest in Yahuwah, Oscar Grant. We still want justice for Oscar Grant. But there are others that are coming up dead now on the West Coast and other areas of this country at the hands of a brute buck police department. Why? Because it's open season on your life. But we, as new Black Panthers, you say, have no right to talk about that. We have no right to talk about point number 7, wanting an end to police brutality and the murder of black people. We have no right to talk against what's happening to us, but you want to shove down a so-called 6 million Jewish Holocaust down our throat. Every single year around this time, you play your damn Schindler's List. Every single year around this time, Schindler's List going to come on, and you want our people to cry over everybody who got put on the train and sent away to their death in gas chambers and things like this. But we can't cry for our people who were fed as alligator bait, thrown over the ship into the mouths of sharks, had to jump for their freedom into the mouths of sharks because they didn't want to be slaves in this country. Or you want us to be happy? You want us to suffer in silence and not have a problem with you building an empire on the back of our people, on the back of black people, but you want to talk about what happened to your people. So it's hypocrisy for us to talk about our pain. It's hypocrisy for us to talk about wanting a land of our own. It's hypocrisy for us to talk about wanting independence and self-determination. But you can talk about it for yourself. In fact, you don't only talk about it, you organize about it. You organize the rise of North America. You organize the rise of this corporation. And who sits at the head of the financial figures of this world today? It is the so-called Jew. I'm not here to mince my words and bite my tongue. The so-called Jew sits at the head of the financial corporations of this world. The so-called Jew sits at the head of the music industry. The so-called Jew sits at the head of television and movie and radio. The so-called Jew sits right there at the head. So how do you go from being 6 million slaughtered at the hands of Nazi Germany and Hitler, and all of a sudden now you sit at the head? It is because you received reparations. Call it like it is. You received reparations. You received reparation. You got repaired. You received compensation. And I ain't talking only land, dead peckerwood president with paper. I'm talking about you received straight up wealth. Huh? You received land and money and resource. You received land, money, and resource. So what do we get? What does the black man and woman get? What do we get? And we built the whole damn country. You couldn't even have built the country without black people. Black people would not have ever even thought about building this country for you. We had our own land. We had our own nations. We had our own communities. We had our own social economic structure already in place before you even came out the hills, out the caves and hillsides of Europe. We already had all that. That's why on the back of the dollar bill, you show the American eagle looking over to our motherland. Show them looking over at our wonders and our great sculptures and our great advances. You show on the back of the dollar bill in a Masonic format, you show your people looking over to our people for help with an olive branch in one hand and arrows for war on the other hand, meaning that if we don't take the offer to come and help you build your corporation, which you call a country, then if we don't accept the extended olive branch, you're going to declare war on us. But the fact of the matter is that even though we did get tricked and take the olive branch, and we did get forced into building this country for you for free labor here, you still declared war on us. You want to know why people call you the beast, people call you the devil, and they mean that? It is because our people have been subjected to the worst forms of brutality known to man. The black man and black woman in the hills of North America have been subjected, and listen, my people in Africa, listen, my people in France, the black man and woman have been subjected to the worst forms of brutality anywhere to be found in the total face of the planet Earth. There are no people, I don't care how loving you are, there are no people who have been subjected to these kinds of brutalities other than the so-called American black man and woman in the hills of North America. We have been totally robbed of everything, robbed of everything, and the only thing that has been replaced with is trinkets given to us by white America. White America has given us trinkets that has allowed us to feel comfortable. It has allowed us to feel complacent. It has allowed us to feel happy with nothing. So that once the trinket runs out, all you have is an idea of what you should have. But you don't have anything tangible. But that is not how the so-called Jewish community operated. The so-called Jewish community, and I say so-called Jew in the spirit of the Honorable Dr. Khaled Abdul Muhammad, who taught us that you, black man and black woman, in the truest sense of the word, were the true Hebrew, the true chosen, and the true Jew. That the so-called Jew who came about the caves and hillsides of Europe, they stole your birthright, stole the birthright, stole the prophecy, and took it for themselves. Now, you let them deal with that. We know what it is. Ain't even no debate with that. Ain't even no debate with that. We know what it is, but they took it from us and claimed it for themselves. And so the so-called Jewish nation took it from us and took it for themselves and left you in the lurch. But when they went for their reparation or their repair, they went for actual land. They went for actual land, actual domination. They went for actual control, and they parlayed their land domination, their corporate domination, their empire domination, their musical domination, their propaganda domination. They parlayed that into an industry and an empire that has netted them to where most of them, if not damn near all of them, don't have to, their future generations don't have to work at all. They come into this world with a golden spoon or a silver spoon in their mouth, with a golden rule paved out before them, because they were able to take the land as a part of reparations. They were able to take industry and commerce as a part of reparations. But so when the black man and black woman, when the new Black Panther Party and the average black man and black woman, when we give a call for reparations, what do we receive? We receive mockery. We receive scorn. We receive vitriol and hatred and bitterness, and we're called reversed racists. We're called haters or race baiters. You call Dr. Malik Zulu Shabazz a troublemaker or a race baiter. You say he's stirring up the racial divide in America. Hell, damn it, the racial divide was already here before Dr. Malik Zulu Shabazz even became the national chairman. The racial divide was already here even before the Honorable Dr. Khaled Abdul Muhammad became chairman, national chairman. All that was here even before the formation of the new Black Panther Party for Self-Defense, long before Sean Quali was ever a thought in his mother and father's mind. The racial divide was here in America. What the hell do you think the Black Panther Party stood for? What do you think it came up out of? You think it came about just because some brothers wanted to look cool in some berets and a leather jacket with a bandolier around their chest and shotguns and pistols on their hip? You think that was the reason why they came up? Hell no. The Black Panther Party came up because there was dissatisfaction in America. The Black Panther Party came up because there was still, at that time, police brutality in America. The Black Panther Party came up because there was a divide so thick in America that you could not go into the store. You had to go around the back. You couldn't go into the movie theater. Huh? You had to sit in a certain section. You could not drink from a certain water fountain that said for whites only. This was just a few years ago. This wasn't no 400 and 500 years ago. This, we're only talking 30, 40, 50 years ago. All right, there's people that are on this planet right now that live through all of that and much, much more. Had a brother in Mississippi who just came up. He was hung. They found him hung from a tree. And they claim now that the brother had committed suicide. And this sounds all too familiar. You know, our brother said he committed suicide, but he was in an all-white neighborhood. And he left where his home was, reportedly, left where his home was, left where his family was, to walk all the way to an all-white neighborhood and commit suicide. Now, you tell me how realistic that sounds. Brother and sister, if you don't believe that you're in a war, that you are in a war, not that you're fighting war, let me be clear, that we are in a war, then something is wrong with you. If you believe that because President Barack Hussein Obama is president, that solved all of our ills, something is wrong with you. Hell, he don't even say that. He don't even say that his ascension to presidency solved all the black man and black woman's ills. Hell no, it didn't solve all our ills. It just simply showed you that, hell, America as a system is so far in debt, so far in trouble, that they had to go all the way back from George Washington to cut that complete white wall. I'm talking about known white wall. Now, we know that there were blacks who were in office even before George Washington. We'll talk about that another show. George, that old lying-ass George, couldn't do it by himself. Just like they couldn't build his country, he couldn't even run the presidency by himself. We'll talk about another show about the black presidents who took presidents and residents before this country was even formed as a union. But they had to go all the way back to George Washington to cut that known, profiled white wall and put a brother in office to save the country. They always do that all over the world. Any European nation you could think of, when the European nation gets in serious trouble, they always put some black man in office to try to rescue them out of trouble. And so it's the same thing today. And as soon as that man took office, they begin to nitpick and nip at him and call him all kind of whatevers because it exposed the racist core of America. My point saying all this is, we're still in it. I don't care how many people, how many black people you put in office, it will not solve the situation in the ghetto. It will not solve the situation in the hood. It will not change what is going on with the youth today, male and female. It will not stop the rise of disease and the epidemics that are happening in our community, because that's not what they're there for. He is not there for that. He already told you he's not a black president. He already told you he's not to pander just to black people. So why do you have all of your hope and all of your eggs in that basket? See, you'd be better off being a black nationalist going for self-determination. You'd be better off going for self-determination and Kuji Chagalia and doing something for yourself. See, that's the direction that the leaders should be talking nowadays. All these leaders on the national scene, you should be talking about the people doing for themselves. Why are you trying to get everybody to go along with the program, knowing damn well that the program is killing black people? You're trying to get us to go along with a program that is set for our destruction and trying to get us not to descend against the program. Doesn't make sense. And so the war is on. The war is on against the new Black Panther Party, and I'm proud to tell you that we hold our head and we hold the line. But here, like I said before this, and we'll take a call in a second, like I said before this, This is not new to us. The Black Panther Party of the 1960s was right in this. For those of you to try to make a divide against the Black Panther Party and the new Black Panther Party, you can't make that divide. Number one, because the Panther is the people. The Panther is the people. The Panther is the symbol of resistance for the people. And at no time in history has the Panther ever taken one particular formation. The Panther that formed on the West Coast in 66 was not the same identical Panther that formed on the East Coast during the 60s. The Panther that formed down south, whether it formed in Ohio, whether it formed in Kentucky, wherever it formed, it was not the same formation that formed in Detroit. It was not the same formation that formed in Oakland. They all had the same structure, the same program, and the same ideas, but they did not execute the same way. So you cannot expect us, as the new Black Panther Party, to execute exactly the same way that the Oakland, California branch of the Black Panther Party executed. We already told you that they were militarily destroyed and usurped through counterintelligence programs, through espionage and covert tactics. And if we deployed our men and women the same way that they deployed their men and women in 1966, we would be finished before we got started. We wouldn't even make an advance towards nationhood, because they've already, the crackers and the beasts in power have already mastered that. They've already worked against that and overturned it. Feel me, family? They've already made up the wall against that. Not saying that there's nothing wrong with the way that they did certain things, the police control, the survival programs, none of that. Don't get my words twisted. I'm talking military right now. I'm talking execution right now. I'm saying that we're in a different time. And even Minister E.P. Newton said that at a certain time, you'd have to change your tactics. You'd have to change the way. He taught us and told you through his writings and his words that they even at times overemphasize the gun. They even overemphasize the rhetoric. They even overemphasize curse words, Minister E.P. Newton said. Okay, so don't get it twisted. Don't act like just to be a panther, you have to be a cookie-cutter version of a panther. The new Black Panther Party is not a cookie-cutter version of the Black Panther Party. All right? It can't be. We have to do what we have to do for today's times. That means to the Panthers who are listening that we have to step up our efforts for today's times. The government usurped the clothes drives, usurped the free breakfast programs, usurped the WIC program, Women, Infant, and Children, usurped that so that you would not look to the Black Panther Party. They took that. They took that as governmental programs that they own so that the people would not go to the People's Party for its own needs. So we have to provide programs for ourselves for today. We got to look to the needs of our people today and see what the hell is going on for our people today. What do we need today? In 1966, they did not have young men bringing guns to school. Young women bringing guns to school. In 1966, the rate of teenage pregnancy was nowhere near what it is in 2010. Huh? In 1966, they didn't have to deal with all these color codes and terroristic alerts and all this type of stuff. We're in a different time, brothers and sisters. Let me take a call real quick, and we're going to go up into the other aspect of this. 200-0006, you're on the air with Black Power Radio. Your question, your comment, Black Power. Black Power, you're on the air. 200-0006, you're on the air. Black Power.
Black Power.
All right, we'll keep it moving. Put your hand back up if you had a question. So the point is, we're in a different time. This is not 1966. This is not 1970. There ain't nobody walking around unless you just want to have a throwback style. Ain't nobody walking around with platform shoes with goldfish at the bottom of the shoe. Ain't nobody doing that. Ain't nobody walking around calling themselves Superfly today. Ain't nobody trying to be Rudy Ray Moore today. I'm no disrespect. I'm just saying we in 2010, going into 2011. It's a different time. This is why we have to have a new Black Panther Party for self-defense. You got to be now able to defend against the information that's coming out quicker than what it was coming out in 1966. And Bing and Yahoo and all this stuff, they didn't have none of that in 1966. They had telephones and typewriters, and the television went off at a certain time. By damn 12 o'clock, the television was completely damn off. Now you got 24-hour television, 24-hour telling lies to your vision, 24 hours a day, programming that is produced by the power structure, that is guided by the power structure, that is designed to put our people into a negative perspective about themselves and lead our youth and us down to roads of degeneracy. This is by design, 24 hours a day. They didn't have this in 1966. Huh? They didn't have the technology we have in terms of microwave ovens and all this radiation that they didn't have. They didn't have none of that. They didn't have any of that in 1966. So we have more to deal with in 66. We have more to deal with in 66 than we have in 2000. Pardon me. We have more to deal with today than what we had in 1966. There's more to deal with right now. Okay? Our babies, I'm just telling y'all, the babies is carrying guns. Our babies, our teenagers out there firing guns and killing each other out there in the streets. Back in the day, almost our elders had to come up with was dealing with knives. Every so often, when somebody would pull a knife on another person and stab somebody. This is, so we're talking 60s. Other than that, your biggest issue was dealing with the state, dealing with, you know what I mean, white supremacy, white racist mob attacks, being sprayed down with fire hose because, you know, just because you wanted to vote. I mean, you outright knew that the white man was the enemy. Today, you don't know that. Today, you don't know that. Today, you just want to try to make excuses and say, well, it ain't all of them. All of them ain't like that. I mean, hell, all snakes ain't poisonous, but damn, I don't want to be bit. You know what I'm saying? I don't want to be bit. So I'm just making the point that we things have not changed that much to where we don't have nothing to fight for. Okay? The fact that you're talking about an Oscar Grant in 2010 lets you know there's much to fight for today, brothers and sisters. That pig who shot and assassinated Oscar Grant, he got a slap on the wrist, and he's appealing the slap on the wrist. He's trying to get out of the slap on the wrist. He only got a few years for an assassination caught on tape, and he's appealing that. All right, they consider the murder of black people justifiable homicide. But when the new Black Panther Party tell you, damn, organize and defend yourself and fight back when you attacked, y'all want to say that's hatred. Y'all want to call us haters and say we're trying to divide people and keep people from coming together. Damn, I mean, what else can we do? If somebody slaps you in your face, how am I wrong for telling you to slap them back? If somebody kicks you down a flight of stairs, how am I wrong for telling you to go back to the top of the step and throw that person down the steps yourself? If somebody kicks your dog in the mouth, how am I wrong for telling you to go up there and smack the hell out their cat? You tell me, but then y'all want to put all these scriptures to me and everything else and all this religious talk, and all these religions tell you that you got to defend yourself when you attack. All of them tell you that. All of them that come from Africa, or any kind of spirituality that you can think of from Africa, tell you to defend yourself. Everything in nature defends itself. You run up on a lion's pride and try to hurt the lion's pride, and the lion's children, the cubs, and guess what the lion going to do? The lion going to maul your ass. Straight up. That's nature. That's natural. But we've been so destroyed and so removed from our natural standpoint and our natural position, we don't even want to fight. You think that the new Black Panther Party doing something outdated, like we're doing something that was only germane to the 60s, and we got more to fight for right now. The Honorable Kwame Ture, formerly Stokely Carmichael, he was talking about the Afro, and he was saying that we need to really be wearing Afros more now and wearing more things that promote our blackness now than they did in the 60s. We so bombarded with white talk and whitewashing and white programming and white movies and everything, white newscasts and whatever, everything just white, and a damn white Christmas about to come up. Everything so white, and you don't hear nothing about your blackness. Your blackness is put on hold. You can't quote to me 3 black inventors. You can't quote to me 3 generations back from your own family, most of you. Can't even tell me who your great-great-great-great-great-grandfather was or grandmother was. You don't even know. You don't even know what your original family's name was. You don't even know what kind of people you come from. Some of you still think Cleopatra was white. You think that the damn pyramids and Sphinx was built by white folks. Some of you still think Kim ain't even in Africa. We in 2010, and you think it's, you know what I mean, you less than a human being. But you want to tell me the new Black Panther Party don't got no stake in this fight, and we ain't got nothing to fight for, and you can't see that we in a war. We in a war, and some of you sitting on the damn fence looking at us fight. You know, you a corner man, a corner woman. You want to watch Tyson throw the blows, but you don't want to learn how to throw the blows yourself. Huh? You don't want to strap up and be that warrior and get in this battle yourself. You want to try to be a damn black power commentator, a damn black power commentator telling everybody what the hell else they supposed to do, but you ain't in the battle yourself. That's like watching Marv Albert now. You know, remember Marv Albert and all of them used to be on the NBA, and they always say, well, yeah, Jordan should have passed the ball. Jordan should have took that shot. Jordan should have threw it to Scotty and this, but damn, you are not in the game. You ain't in the game, so you cannot make split second decisions on what another person is supposed to do. You don't know because you on the outside. You on the country, make these moves around the world, and we put that patch that say freedom or death on our chest. That cracker know this shit is for real, man. That white man know this stuff is for real. And we are making split-second decisions, life or death decisions. Oftentimes, we don't even know if we're coming home. The new Black Panther Party, we step outside to defend black people against your enemy, the white ones and the Negroes and the Toms. And we don't even know if we're coming back home, brothers and sisters. You won't see the hate mail that I get, that the Dr. Malik Zulu Shabazz get, that King Sami and others and the new Black Panther Party period get. You don't see that. We don't spill that to you. We don't even talk about it. You don't hear about the threats to be on our lives on a daily and consistent basis. You didn't read it too much about the threats that was on the Honorable Dr. Khalid Abdul Muhammad's life, but you saw him get shot in Riverside, didn't you? You saw him get shot in Riverside. You know, Sean Quali took two bullets, huh? We don't even bring this stuff to you. But you want to commentate and be a Black Power commentator and tell us about everything that we should do in this fight. God damn it, get in the fight. There is no better time to be a Panther than right now. Because like the old saying goes, whether you fight or don't fight, they still going to fight your ass. They still going to kill you. Whether you fight and resist or don't fight or resist, there will still be a war in the black community. And if you sit back like a little coward, if you sit back like a little coward and commentate and cheerlead and nitpick, then the white man and his forces will still come around your little punk self up and put you on a train, just like he did the so-called Jews. Still going to put you on a train. They got these camps waiting for you right now. They got these little camps waiting for us right now. And some of you so-called black power commentators, you're going to be the main punk ones that get rounded up and sit off on these little death camps. You're going to be the main ones. Because you ain't organized. You didn't know how to get the people behind you. You didn't know nothing about no survival skill. You don't know no self-defense. You want to sit back and watch and commentate on the game and what's going on. Just a commentator. So they're going to round you up, and you're going to be rolling off with the white men off into these camps. This is real. Look at it for what it is. You can't look at stuff for what you want it to be. This ain't no idealism about this revolution and what's going on. This is real life. Like I told you, Mami is really sitting up in jail right now. Sitting up in jail right now for a crime you know he didn't commit. Tupac Shakur assassinated. A Panther Cub assassinated in Las Vegas on the Strip. Now you tell me how anybody can get away with shooting somebody on the Strip. Cameras everywhere. If you ever been to Vegas, you know what I'm telling you. Cameras everywhere, people everywhere. It's a fight night. Everybody's out. Car roll by, assassinate the brother right there with entourage, security, and everything. You tell me how they got away with that one, but you don't want to believe we in a war. He's a Panther Cub. And many of y'all don't know that he was forming New African Panthers. He was forming a new party. He was forming a new Black Panther Party. Y'all don't know that, but ask around. Ask those that know. Huh? Ask his former manager. Ask those that know. He was forming a new Black Panther Party, a new Panther, a new African Panther Party. He was working. That's why he built the Code of Thug Life, to give organization to the streets. You don't know that stuff. That's when he caught the sexual abuse case. That's when he caught the case as he was working his political work. Ask Dr. Mutulu Shakur, another prisoner of war, political prisoner behind bars right now. You don't want to talk about that. You want to talk about damn reality shows, Jersey Shore, and all this other madness that's out there to keep us distracted. Some of y'all like William Cooper's book, Behold the Pale Horse, but you're not reading between the lines. William Cooper, that white man, told you that in the squad that he was working in, that their aim was to keep the public distracted from doing anything real. He tell you right there in Behold the Pale Horse that their aim was to keep you from doing anything organizational-wise to keep you distracted from your real liberation. So they put all this stuff out here to keep you and me distracted from doing anything tangible or substantive. anything. And so we caught up. I mean, we just caught up in the hype, man. We caught up in hype. It's NBA season. It's college season. It's football season. Hey, to see that score. Some of you know more about certain players' stats than you know about black history. You can't quote to me somebody, a revolutionary black activist, but you can quote to me, goddamn, what this bat Kobe Bryant did last night. I mean, it's insane, brother and sister. It's insane. You can quote to me, you know, all this stuff about, you know, what these hip-hop artists did, who's battling who and this, but you can't quote nothing revolutionary, and we expect to get free like this? We can't get free like this. And so we be wise to study the lessons of history. And so there's a book that's out that I've been pumping, I've been studying, that was written by the Honorable, and I say honorable with good reason, Minister Huey P. Newton. It was written as a dissertation. He wrote it called War Against the Panthers. It's a study of repression in America. And he goes all through this book. And if you don't have that book, if you ain't got it, put that on your Christmas list. Tell somebody put that in your stocking. Say that when you wake up, by the grace of God, on December 25th, to have War Against the Panthers under the Christmas tree. Now, for you religious folks, hell, now you know damn well you ain't supposed to have that no way, but whatever. I mean, just tell them put it under the tree. Tell them put it in your stocking. Also, there's a book out there by Ward Churchill and Jim Vanderwall. Ward Churchill and Jim Vanderwall. It's called The COINTELPRO Papers. Again, Ward Churchill and Jim Vanderwall. The COINTELPRO Papers. It's documents from the FBI's secret war against dissidents in the United States. Documents from the FBI secret wars against dissidents in the United States. The COINTELPRO Papers. Another book. I'm trying to give you some arsenal. It's called Black Theology and Black Power by James H. Cone. C-O-N-E. Black Theology and Black Power by James H. Cone. Get that. Another book. The Black Panthers Speak by Farner, by Mr. Farner, by Philip S. Farner, The Black Panthers Speak, Survival Pending Revolution, A History of the Black Panther Party. This is by Brother Kubelan. I get that. Another one called Comrades by Brother Justin Jeffries, Justin L. Jeffries, A Local History of the Black Panther Party. Get all them books and many more. Arm yourself with knowledge. Arm yourself with information. Arm yourself with proper propaganda. We talked about President Barack Hussein Obama a few seconds ago, but learn about the six black presidents. Learn about black blood and white masks in the USA, their friends, their foes, their lives, their wives, by Dr. Aset Bakufu. Again, the six black presidents by Dr. Aset Bakufu. It breaks it down to you. We talked about Stanley Tukey Williams, the founder of the Crip organization, Community Revolution in Progress. We talked about the book that transformed his life. You brothers and sisters, you read Blood in My Eye. Read Blood in My Eye by the National Field Marshal of the Black Panther Party. We say General George L. Jackson. General George L. Jackson, Blood in My Eye. If you want to get some revolutionary theory, some revolutionary appreciation and ideology, pardon me. If you want to get that, hell, go to what the Black Panthers read. If you want to know why they spoke what they spoke and why they said what they said, you can also get you quotations from Chairman Mao. Get you the Red Book. Get all of that. I mean, I'm just telling you, you got to have your arsenal to know how to defeat this enemy. If you were reading and you were studying, you would know why the new Black Panther Party operates the way that it operates. You wouldn't be so easily tricked by a Bill O'Reilly or a Glenn Beck or Megyn Kelly, any of them old liars and spin doctors of the media. You wouldn't even be deceived. You wouldn't even expect them to tell the truth about us. If a man or woman would not treat you right, that man and woman will not teach you right. If that man or woman would not treat you right, that man or woman will not teach you right. All right? Megyn Kelly, that itch would have been straight up, O'Reilly, Glenn Beck, Hannity, Sean Hannity, and them others, they will not teach you right. They will not teach you right. They will not tell you the proper history of black people and black power. They're not going to say it. So why are you looking for them? You going on these YouTubes and you're going up on these old trumped up interviews where they cut you off, and it even includes Geraldo too, that old traitorous Latino. He's a traitor to his own people. Yeah, I said it. You're a traitor to your people. Yeah, your people come up out of struggle. You know what I mean? And you working for the white imperialists. You're a traitor to your people. You're putting their ideas out to the forefront. You're rude. You're disrespectful like the rest of them. Yeah, so why would you expect these rude and disrespectful individuals to ever give you the new Black Panther Party in the proper light? They are not paid millions of dollars to talk positive about the new Black Panther Party. That's why we have to create our own mediums. We got to create our own mediums. We got to create our own radio, our own television, our own movies, our own scripts. You know what I mean? You have to, because otherwise white folks will always continue to show you the first ones to die in the movies. In every single movie, the black man is always the first one to die. Whether it's a comedy, whether it's a romance, whether it's a serious drama, the black man, the black woman, you're always going to die first. Why? Because they're telling you from a subconscious standpoint and a real standpoint, they want you dead first. You're the first one they want to go, period. And they put in their movies right there for you to see. Another good one to read, that is mandatory reading for every member of the new Black Panther Party, is Blueprint for Black Power by the Honorable Amos N. Wilson. Blueprint for Black Power. This brother is a man who was underappreciated, completely underappreciated, wrote a complete manual. I mean, we call it a book, but I mean, damn it, the book is so big. I mean, it's really a reference guide. He wrote a reference guide to black power, and it was mandatory reading. The Honorable Dr. Khaled Abdul Muhammad made it mandatory reading for his followers, his students, and we're making it, and it is mandatory reading today under the leadership of Dr. Malik Zulu Shabazz. I mean, you can't get away from it. Amos Wilson. Now, check it out. Now, back to the Honorable Minister Huey P. Newton, and for those of y'all that didn't catch them all, rewind the tape. When the show is over, you rewind the tape and you get all them books and purchase them. Put them in your library. If your library is skinny and anorexic, bump up your library. Pump up your book section. If you got 1,000 CDs and only a few books, you got to turn that around, brother and sister, because they already told you if you want to hide something from a black man or a black woman, you put it in the book. You know what I mean? The information is out there. You can't even depend on Google. With this Homeland Security and this Patriot Act, they're even taking charge over what's shown on Google, what's shown on YouTube, and what's shown on the Internet. You don't have freedom of speech. America does not give you freedom of speech. And soon they'll be coming trying to outlaw the books. They're already trying to outlaw health food stores and certain vitamins and minerals that you get from health food stores. They're already moving on the health food industry. They're moving on acupuncture, African acupuncture. They're moving on aromatherapy. They're moving on, you know, holistic health and holistic medicine. They're moving on this stuff and trying to make you buy their chemical drugs and chemical warfare. They're trying to outlaw alternative medicine, the medicine that's practiced by a Dr. CB or a Lila Africa or a Dr. Alim or others. They're trying to outlaw that and make you buy their chemical medicine. Okay, and so they're moving on that, and soon they will move on your books and your information. And if you don't have this information in your heart, if it ain't in your heart, if it ain't in your mind, if it ain't in your body and your spirit, hey, you're gonna be lost. You ain't gonna know your history. That's why in our mother continent we used to recite oral traditions. We would recite oral tradition and oral history, and our youngsters had to know who their people was and be able to recite in the new Black Panther Party meetings. We are supposed to be able to recite our leadership. You're supposed to be able to recite your platform. You're supposed to be able to recite your general orders, your five duties of a panther, and on and on. You got to have this stuff in your heart. Because just as they did other leaders in the 30s and in the 40s, on to the 60s, 70s, and on down. When the enemy, the beast, moves on your property, moves on your home, moves to make an arrest, they don't just take you, they take your manuscripts too. They take your books too. They take your belongings too. They take your computer too. And when they moved on, the international representative of the Nation of Islam recently, Akbar Muhammad, they came and took his computer, took his belongings. I'm not just making this stuff up. This is historic what I'm saying. This is a historical record of what I'm saying. When they moved on other leaders, Huey P. Newton included, they took the books and took his manuscripts, took his belongings. They intercepted his calls and all this type of stuff. All right, so look, in War Against the Panthers by National Minister of Defense Huey P. Newton, he writes this, and I want y'all to follow along closely with me on this, because everything that this brother wrote, we're going through it right now, and you're going through it as a black nationalist, a black power advocate, or somebody who just wants to see freedom. You're going through it, or you will go through it. All right? He says this. He says, within 1 year of the formation of the party, the FBI formed a special counterintelligence program dubbed COINTELPRO. The purpose of this program was, in the FBI's own words, to expose, disrupt, misdirect, discredit, or otherwise neutralize the activities of black nationalists. A specific purpose of COINTELPRO was to prevent the rise of a black messiah, a charismatic black leader who might unify and electrify black people. Martin Luther King Jr. was named as a potential messiah in the FBI's own secret memorandum establishing COINTELPRO. But after the assassination of King in 1968, the FBI shifted its focus to the party and its leadership, particularly Huey P. Newton. J. Edgar Hoover, then director of the FBI, publicly stated that the party constituted the greatest threat to the internal security of the country, of any organization. Of the 295 documented actions taken by COINTELPRO alone to disrupt black groups, 233, or 79%, was specifically directed towards the destruction of the party. Over 100 million of taxpayers' money was expended for COINTELPRO. Over 700 million of it allocated for 1976 alone. I'm going to say that again. 700 million of it allocated for 1976 alone to pay off informants and provocateurs, twice the amount allocated in the same period by the FBI to pay organized crime informants. Indeed, while COINTELPRO targeted five domestic organizations, which the Bureau dubbed the Communist Party, the Socialist Workers Party, white hate groups, black nationalist hate groups, e.g. the Panthers, and the New Left, it was blacks and the Panthers in particular who received the brunt of the damage. As the Senate Select Committee to Study Governmental Operations found, the white hate COINTEL also used comparatively few techniques which carried a risk of serious emotional and or economic damage to targets. Listen, while black nationalist COINTELPRO used such techniques extensively. All right, so we'll stop right there. So just in 1976 alone, the government, this government that some of you so bad, this government that's so, this government that you want us to integrate into so bad. Some of you are not understanding they spent $7 million in 1976 just to pay off informants, provocateurs. Right? And they, even in monitoring groups like the Ku Klux Klan and the Nazis and, you know, the whites and others who were white extremists and white supremacists, they didn't use the same techniques against them that ran the risk of serious physical, emotional, or economic damage to their targets. While against you, black man and black woman, for organizing with the Panther Party, for organizing with SNCC, for organizing with the Nation of Islam, for organizing with RAM, with CORE, for organizing with the other organizations that were prevalent at that time, they used techniques against us that were designed for our destruction, serious physical, emotional, economic damage. So here we are in 2010, going off into 2011, and what do you see at the forefront of the new Black Panther Party agenda when in terms of white folks and the white right and all of those that are against us and lined up against us? It is the destruction of the new Black Panther Party. Number one on the plate, number one on the burner. They're using a trumped-up voter intimidation case, a trumped-up case that was brought forth by the Bush administration. I want y'all to hear me clear. Brought forth by the Bush administration in 2008. And since they could not press criminal charges against the new Black Panther Party, Dr. Malik Zulu Shabazz, Minister King Samir, and Brother Jerry Jackson, now known as Brother Haru, since you could not bring criminal charges against us, you had to go for the lesser and go for civil charges against us. In your civil charge, you claim that members of our party had enacted in some type of voter intimidation, all the while never presenting anyone to come forth on that day or otherwise anywhere in close proximity to that time and event who said they were denied the vote. Number one, you failed to mention that where this incident took place, the supposed incident, an alleged incident took place, it was in an all-black area. Let me be clear. This was in a black area amongst black people. And so you never presented anybody to come forth and say that, you know, I was denied my right to vote, you know, or that members of the new Black Panther Party tried to coerce me to vote for Obama or coerce me to vote for McCain. You never presented that because it never happened. Only thing that you had to present was a supporter of McCain who on that day came up with his cell phone, his camera phone, and showed our brother standing there, one, Brother Jerry Jackson, a registered poll watcher there, registered legally with the right to be there, and our brother Minister King Samir there to defend the black community. That's what you showed. You showed a supporter of McCain harassing Minister King Samir and harassing Brother Jerry Jackson. What you failed to mention was that around this same time, there were threats going on all around the world, as today, against black life. You had white supremacists in Crockett County, Tennessee, and other areas who popped up and said that they were going to behead 18 to over 20 black men and women and children if Obama, Mr. Barack Obama, got elected into office. And these same threats were right there in Philadelphia. They were all around the country, fool, all around the country. And so when our brother went to the defense, as he always has, gone to the defense for black people, hell, you put that on tape. And then you try to use that and say that this man was stopping people from voting. Which, if you look at the tape, all of you who are under the sound of my voice, you go back to your YouTubes, listen to the audio. Don't just get caught up in the hype. Don't just get caught up in what Fox Jews said and all of them. Listen to the audio. Even in the audio, when the white man says what's going on and all this and that, you hear even the white girl and the white man in the background saying nothing's going on, everything is cute, everything is cool. You know, the white girl says they're not bothering anybody. This is in the audio, but Fox News ain't going to say that. Fox News ain't going to show that. MSNBC ain't going to show that. All right? So my point is, it's a trumped-up case. It is a trumped-up case used for leverage against the white, for the white right against Barack Obama and ultimately trying to use the new Black Panther Party as the scapegoat. And so with no evidence of voter intimidation, nobody being denied the vote, an overhyped case, here we are in 2010 and you are still pushing this case forward. You're still pushing this case forward. And now you want to try, and you're not trying, you're working now to bring us back into court. Now, again, in any other case, if there was no evidence, and then let's not fail to mention that you did enact an injunction against Minister King Samir that he was to stay away from the polling places for a specific amount of time, okay? So that was through your courts. That wasn't through New Black Panther Party. That was through your courts. And so you enacted an injunction, and you're still not happy with the injunction. You, like, I'm talking about the commission, and like Frank Wolf and Lamar Smith and these other paid prosecutors of the New Black Panther Party, because that's what you are, you're out for blood. And you are there for the destruction. You're aiming for the destruction of the New Black Panther Party. You're there. You're in place in Congress working to try to stop the moves of Dr. Malik Zulu Shabazz and the New Black Panther Party. You're right there in Congress. And so now you want to bring us back to court. You want to try to say now that things were not handled properly, that there was some type of backdoor or something that the New Black Panther Party had with President Barack Obama and Attorney General Eric Holder and others. And you know that's a damn lie. You know damn well that it's not even politically astute nor applicable for President Barack Obama or Eric Holder to have any type of political relations or backdoor cuts with the New Black Panther Party. Hell, you failed to mention when Dr. Malik Zulu Shabazz made his statement against Israel and how Obama was wrong on Israel. You didn't talk about that. Huh? You didn't talk about how we said before this even took place that it's still the White House. That no matter if you put a black face in the position, it's still a White House. And we're still dealing with a white power structure. You didn't talk about none of that because y'all wanted to paint the picture that we were some kind of way in bed. And if you go on, you know, Googling all this now, you know, that's the kind of picture they're trying to paint. But let us not forget what Minister Huey P. Newton said. He said that the aim of the COINTELPRO, the counterintelligence program that was aimed against the Black Panther Party, which represented the greatest threat to the internal security of the country. He said their aim was directed to specifically disrupt the group, to misdirect the group, to stop the rise of a charismatic black leader that would unify and electrify black people. Okay? That's what Minister E.P. Newton said, and that's what happened, and that's exactly what's happening today. You see what Dr. Malik Zulu Shabazz is doing. You see you can't get him and the New Black Panther Party in a trick bag and try to keep us isolated to one particular area with this black power movement. You see how this black power movement goes beyond religious boundaries, spiritual boundaries, political boundaries, economic class and boundaries. You see how this Black Power movement touches every aspect of black life, no matter how big or how strong or how small. You see that. You see that the leadership that is being produced in the new Black Panther Party is a versatile leadership, that the membership that's being produced in the new Black Panther Party, it is a versatile leadership. You see that we're growing. See, I know that you have the intel. I know that you intercept our emails. You intercept our calls. I know that you surveil us and that you watch us. We saw you a little bit in Newberry. When we were in Newberry, we see you all the time. All right. So we know that you see the people calling in by the thousands, the people emailing by the thousands, the people wanting to know how they can be members, how they can register, how they can be a part, how they can support the movement by the thousands, and not only in America, but all across the world. Just recently worked to have a connect in Canada, worked to have a connect in New Mexico, got a connect coming up down in South America. You see this. And so as your aim is to stop the rise of a black messiah that can unify and electrify the people, your aim is to stop revolutionary Pan-Africanism. Your aim is to totally annihilate the 10-point platform of the Black Panther Party and today the new Black Panther Party. You today use infiltration. There are agents among the ranks of the new Black Panther Party. There are people who move in agent-like fashion, do things which no Panther would do. They do things to try to make setups so that Panther leaders and Panther memberships would get arrested, put us in peculiar positions where Panthers would lose their lives. You have an organization that is at the forefront of this Black Power movement, but yet you would paint us in the media, paint us in your newspapers, and paint us on your internet as though we're some type of hate-mongering racist group. But you fail to teach what the Honorable Dr. Khaled Abdul Muhammad and Dr. and Attorney Malik Zulu Shabazz taught, that racism is prejudice plus power. That nothing that Dr. Malik Zulu Shabazz says will stop a white man from getting a job. Nothing that Sean Kwali says over this radio will stop you from going into a store, stop you from drinking from a water fountain, stop you from going to the movie, going to the toilet, as your racism did to our people and does to our people. Nothing. See, when we say black power, let me tell you this. When we say black power, some of you have been fooled to think that black power is, you know, the black equal or black antithesis of white power. That is a mischaracterization. Black power was the answer to white power. Black power was the equalizing force to white power. White power represents the destruction, the death, the murder, the brutality, the injustice, the criminalization of black people. That's what we experience and that's what we face under the white power structure. Black power was the unifying, the organizing, huh? It was the developing, it was the defending, it was the defining, it was the momentum, it was the rallying cry for black people against white oppression and white suppression. So when you hear us say black power, we are not saying black power in the sense of reverse racism. We cannot be accused of being reverse racist when we haven't even damn reversed the racism of white supremacy. Hell, with our people still being hung in Mississippi and hung and lynched in other areas, how in the hell can you accuse us of reverse racism? Some of you fools, I see a fool now talking about the new Black Panther Party is a degenerate group, but your faggot self, your faggot ass won't say that against these old white supremacists that pop up. You won't say that against the white power structure that has caused the degeneracy of our youth. through their movies and their television and their radio and everything that they put out, you won't say that they have caused degeneracy, but you'll say it against the new Black Panther Party because you're part of the propaganda machine. You're part of the propaganda machine. And so we continuously will usurp you and your cronies all day long. We will continue to expose you and your cronies all day long. There's nothing degenerate about the new Black Panther Party. In fact, the new Black Panther Party is every bit regenerate. We have regenerated a Black Power movement. Before the Honorable Dr. Khalid Abdul-Muhammad, before he came on the scene with Black Power, you wasn't kicking no Black Power. We had put down the cry of Black Power. Even our comrade, even our elder, even the Black Panther Party founder, Brother Bobby Seale, who I love, still got love for, regardless to what his position is today, for whatever reason. Even he had been reduced to selling barbecue with Huey P. Newton's face and picture on it. He wasn't saying Black Power anymore. And many of you who would come before us, you would put down the mantle of Black Power. You stopped talking about Black Power. You stopped talking about Black empowerment, and you start talking about integrationist talk because you're battle torn. You're battle torn. You're battle fatigued. The military force of COINTELPRO had put the fire out of many of you. I can't say all of you, because you still got those that are from the Black Panther Party of the 1960s that are holding the line. You still got those. You got those of the Black Panther Party that don't even agree with some of the founding members and founding so-called leaders of the Black Panther Party. So, I mean, let's just be clear. And there are still some that are holding the line. But before the Honorable Dr. Khalid Abdul-Muhammad came on the scene, you wasn't saying Black Power no more. We had given up on Black Power. Black Power was to be a thing of the past. And so now it has spread across the world, and Black Power is as common as the damn maple syrup on your table now. Now you want to blame the new Black Panther Party. Well, we'll take that blame. We'll take the blame of spreading Black Power across the world, because that's what's needed. Africa's waiting on us in Black Power. Huh? Black France is waiting on us in America with some Black Power. Black England waiting on us in America with Black Power. The Black Peruvians are waiting on us in America with Black Power. The Black Cuban is waiting on us in North America with Black Power. The whole world is waiting on us in our rise to power in the hills of North America. Because we in the head of the snake. Now hear me good. We are in the head of the snake. We right here where the heart of this beast is controlling the whole world. We are right here in the center of the chaos, in the center of the destruction, in the center of the imperialistic force. And if you don't know what that word means, look it up immediately. Right here in the center of it. But we put to sleep. We asleep and we comfortable. We've been made lax. We're kicking back. We're living off the kickbacks and off the crumbs of the white man's table, hoping that one day we will ascend to a position like Barack Hussein Obama. But you got to understand, that man, he was selected. He was put in office for a purpose. Hell, it's just like no matter how much basketball you play, you got a chance, a rare chance in hell of making it to the NBA. You got a rare chance in hell at being a black man at the head of the power of the white power structure. He was selected. Hell, he is a blood relative of certain other members of that body that came before him. Look it up for yourself. We ain't making this stuff up. All right? It's all a part of the same plan. I'm telling you this, that we have to organize for self-determination. The program of the new Black Panther Party is geared towards the black man and black woman and the oppressed that don't have anything, that know that you are kicked out, kept out, crept out, pushed out, all right? And know that you don't have a chance in hell unless you fight for your right and fight for yourself, sovereignty and determination. And I ain't saying it in no spooky way. I'm saying it in a real way. No other nation ever got its own independence unless it fought for its self-determination. Any revolution, you can quote me, even if it's the Peckerwoods Revolution, they all got muskets, guns, and whatever they could. They got philosophies and ideologies, and they got all kind of things lined up in their favor, and they went to war. The black man and black woman is quiet as hell in this battle. We are quiet in the battle. And all the meanwhile, while the enemy, the oppressor, educates our babies, it's causing our youth to turn on themselves. They're turning on themselves. In the streets right now, as we talk right now, our babies are turning on themselves because some of you parents are so damn weak that you won't snatch your baby up off the damn corner and pull your baby into the house. Some of you mamas, some of you fathers are so damn weak that you will allow the streets to raise your baby instead of you raising your baby. And you, or you, when you do apply some discipline, now the young man, the young woman already so grown, they ain't even listening to you. Some of y'all just drugged out, man. Some of these parents are so drugged out. Sit on the couch. You sleep on the couch. You watching soap operas all damn day. Damn, man, sometimes playing Xbox and games all damn day, and your babies are running crazy in the streets. Because the babies know that they're in a battle for their salvation and their lives. They know they're in a battle. You don't have to tell the average youth in America they're in a battle. They already know this. It is already known. Why you think they packing pistols? Why you think that they are so quick to fight and so quick-tempered? It's because they already know they're in a battle for their existence. But they don't see the revolutionary example to show them how to lead themselves up out of this condition. And so all they can do is fight everything because everything looks like an enemy. When you don't know where your enemy's coming from, you swing wildly at whatever you feel like is trying to oppress you. The revolutionary groups and the religious groups are not having the same effect as these so-called gangs and street tribes because you won't take your shadiddy ass to where the youth are, man. You won't go where they are. You won't go into the streets. You'd rather sit up in the church, sit up in the mosque, sit up in your little meeting and talk about what the hell is going on instead of being out there in the streets. When you look at the Black Panther Party of the 1960s, when you look at the new Black Panther Party today, you find us in the streets. And no matter how many critics we have, you criticize us in the streets. You see us in the streets putting our programs together. And some of you critics, you criticize us, but then you don't produce nothing. We're doing this with no budget. Let me tell you straight up. We're doing this with no budget, out of our own pockets. You criticize us, and we're putting our nickels and our dimes together, hitting the road or going into our own cities, putting these programs together, survival programs for our people. But you criticize with a pocket full of money and ain't done shit for the black man and black woman. Excuse my proper English, family, but I got to tell it straight. You ain't did nothing for black people, but you criticize us. Some of you leaders rolling around in Rolls Royces. When Bishop Eddie Wrong got busted, this man had a Rolls Royce in a private jet. But ain't kicked not nair dime back to the new Black Panther Party. Some of you others out there ain't kicked back nair dime to the struggles and freedom fighters that are here with you. And some of you other people that are criticizing, you ain't kicked nothing to those that are doing the work, but you sit back comfortable in your house with a pocket full of money and a pocket full of dreams, and don't put none of that towards the liberation struggle of black people. And I'm telling y'all this, that when the time comes, as the Honorable Dr. Khalid Abdul-Muhammad taught and Dr. Malik Zulu Shabazz teaches, to deal with our enemy and deal with this white oppressor, you will be dealt with as well. Our program demands that, and our program teaches that. you will be dealt with as well. All of you who set out the aspirations of our people and the aspirations of our babies and the aspirations of our generation, you will be dealt with. You will be handled. All of you who are poverty pimping our people, and all you out there for is just to make a dollar while our people suffer and die in the hells of North America. Your ass will be dealt with, black man and black woman. I'm telling you straight. And I ain't speaking ahead of my ability to do or our ability to do. It's real. There's enough of us in the black nation that are tired of you and tired of your lies. That's why the youth ain't going to some of these functions. That's why they're not coming out, because they're tired of being lied to. If you kick something real or something straight to them, they'll get up with you. They'll ride with you. They'll roll with you. But because we ain't kicking it real and in a way that they can understand, and we ain't doing, and we ain't linking them up to black nationalism in a modern sense, they can't feel it. Let's take a quick call. 216-323, you're on the air with Black Power Radio. Your question, your comment, Black Power.
Hello?
Yes, sir, Black Power.
Yeah, you was talking that trash about me and stuff.
I don't know what trash you're talking about. All thing I'm saying here right now is either you're part of the solution, part of the problem, and so I guess you don't have nothing to say because you lining yourself up with the beast. So anyway, as we were saying right now, and we're saying clear today, those of you who line yourself up with the beast, those of you who line yourself up with the enemy, those of you who line yourself up with the oppressor, hell, we ain't got no love for you. This old Tom that just called in now got a problem with what I'm saying about the beast. Got a problem with what I'm saying about these old weak ass organizations that are not in the streets and will not do the work. And you will not do the work. You want to be a black power commentator. I don't have time for black power commentators. Too many of our people are dying on a daily and consistent basis for your commentary not to be matched up with your work. Just like the brother that just called in, I know you. I ain't even going to expose you right now. I know you. I know you ain't doing no work. You on YouTube making your little rap videos, and you ain't reaching the people. I'm going to put a challenge out there to you. Put some programs out there for the people right there in your city. Answer the basic needs of black people right there in your city. Then we can talk. Then we can come to the table. Anything that you feel like I said about you that you don't like, then we'll talk about it. Until then, you ain't got nothing to say to me or nothing to say to the new Black Panther Party. All right? And we won't address you any further past that. But there's a war against the Panthers. There's a war against the Panthers. There's a war against black nationalism, black progressive groups, and groups that are on the block going into the field. There's a war, and this war continues, okay? And so Minister Huey P. Newton, he talked about how, you know, specifically, he said the FBI engaged in or encouraged a variety of actions intended to cause. He said that they are intended to cause death of Black Panther Party members, loss of membership and community support, draining of revenues from the party, false arrest of members and supporters, and defamatory discrediting of constructive party programs and leaders. He says what follows is an illustrative highlighting of some of these unlawful actions undertaken by the Bureau against the Black Panther Party. He says a major goal of COINTELPRO was to sow dissension within the party. He says a 1970s memorandum from headquarters to the San Francisco field office of the FBI, for example, proposed a wide variety of alleged authentic police or FBI material could be carefully selected or prepared for furnishing to the Panthers. Reports, blind memoranda, letterhead memoranda, and other alleged police or FBI documents could be prepared pinpointing Panthers as police or FBI informants, ridiculing or discrediting Panther leaders through their ineptness or personal escapades, espousing personal philosophies and promoting factionalism among Black Panther Party members, indicating electronic coverage where none exists, outlining fictitious plans for police raids or other counteractions, revealing misuse or misappropriation of Panther funds, pointing out instances of political disruptive material or and disinformation, etc. The nature of the disruptive material and disinformation, quote-unquote, leaked, would only be limited by the collection ability of your sources and the need to ensure the protection of their scrutiny. Now, look, that's from a memorandum from the 70s, 1970s memorandum to the, from headquarters, from the FBI headquarters to the San Francisco field office. And they're already telling you this is in the 70s. This is in the 70s. This is in the 70s. They're already telling you that they want to ridicule. They want to discredit. They want to send, or they did send, carefully selected material, carefully prepared material for furnishing to the Panthers. Reports, blind memoranda. I want y'all to be careful about these news reports and these news events that come up that they don't have no author on them. They don't have no they just have a letterhead, a title head, or they don't have no accurate source. Be careful, because I'm gonna tell you, the FBI writes articles too. The FBI historically has produced news broadcasts too. All right, so be careful. They already tell you that they want to let it be known about ineptness and personal escapades, espousing of personal philosophies, and promote factionalism among the members. Okay, they already have done this in the 70s, and they did not have the use of the internet, use of YouTube, use of the Twitter and the MySpace and the Facebook. They didn't have none of this, and you think that the FBI don't have a YouTube account? You think that the FBI informants and agents don't have Facebook accounts? You think that they don't have MySpace accounts and Skype and all? Man, they had it before you had it. Crazy? They were using this stuff before they even let it out to the public. The internet was already used by these agencies before they let it out to the public. Okay? It was already out there. They already had it. They already knew who it was and who had it. So I'm just telling you straight up, brother and sister, don't be fooled. Let's take another call, 626, or this one right here, 214-431. You're on the air, Black Power. Radio, your question or comment. Black Power.
Black Power, Brother Sean, your comrade, Brother Drew X.
Black Power, comrade. What's going on with you, soldier?
Oh, nothing much. I just call in and give support and bear witness to everything you're saying is true and correct. To those who think the Black Panther Party promotes diversity, we don't. We say to those who call in and think we're talking trash that if you can do something better, we would like to see it, like you to do it. We promote no diversity. We'd like to see you come out and attack this beast and instead of just attacking us. Also, I'd just like to pass on some information for these ones that think it's all about us. Walmart has partnered up with Homeland Security to report suspicious activity. So if you don't believe what the brother's saying, why would Walmart be working with Homeland Security? Who shops at Walmart? Majority of the less fortunate, because Walmart is like a wholesale. So what kind of suspicious activity can they be reporting? What about the brothers and sisters who's going in there selling food stamps? Then the next time you'll send your relatives in there with food stamps. Guess what? Walmart gonna report that to somebody. So when you think we just making up stuff, you don't know what's going on in the world. So your big store, Walmart, is now partners with Homeland Security. So I just want to let people know, Sean, I feel your pain. People are attacking and attacking, but they not smart enough to even investigate to see what's happening. So I just want to pass that on.
Hey, man, that's what I'm talking about. That's the kind of information that we need, Brother Drew, because the thing is, it ain't just Walmart. That's why, when we talk about these corporations that owe black people for their existence. We talking some real talk. Walmart, Chase Bank, Wachovia, all these, you know, these white folks, corporations, they owe us. They owe us for their existence. But instead of kicking back, as they did the so-called Jews, they exploit, and now they're in bed with these agencies to spy on you, spy and track and watch what you're doing. It's a real system that's going on. So, man, brother, we appreciate you for your information. Keep that up, black man.
Black power.
Black power. Black power. That's our brother Drew. And I'm telling you, he's bringing some real information. Let's go to the next caller, 626-399. You're on the air. Black Power Radio. Your question or comment, Black Power.
Hotep, Black Power, is Brother Person Kid.
Hotep, Brother Person Kid. What's going on, Black?
Hotep, always good. It's good hearing from Brother Drew. You know, he made my night. Another thing, I'm expound and add to what my brother just put out. The RIAA, you know, the record industry, as well as certain elements in the movie industry and others that are producers, I'm distributors, are also with Homeland Security. They signed a measure, and I believe another one's in Congress, where they can actually monitor who's doing illegal downloads. And that, I think something has already passed. It passed one of the committees to where they're going to be monitoring who is getting and you know who gets most of these songs and most of these movies or juvies and all this other stuff. So they've already, Homeland Security's already, and a lot of it had to do with China, are deeply embedded into the copyright situation now. So they're going to be monitoring whoever does, you know, quote unquote illegally downloads. So, you know, this, I can't thank you enough for this show. And, you know, I'm right there with you. And, hopefully, I did a show earlier about Walmart's some of the nefarious practices that are going on through there, and I'm just so glad Brother Drew brought it out, you know. But Hotep, and just keep up the good work.
Hey, thank you, Brother Percy Kidd, and much blessings to you and all your endeavors, man. Keep us informed because we are on the same battlefield, brother. And we basically just fighting on the same front. I can be the left arm, you can be the right arm, brother. That's how it's got to be.
Definitely.
Yes, sir. Black power, Brother Person Kid. Let's go to the next caller. 757-405. You're on the air. Black Power Radio. Your question or comments, Black Power.
Black Power, this is Queen Gashiba. I'm with you on that, too, because we as sister and brothers, we have to get out and get ready to fight, because this world is not our friend. These white Packerwood, the white devils, they is not our friend.
That's right.
They are not our friend. And our people need to wake up knowing that the white man give them drugs, the white man give them alcohol, the white man give them so much drugs, powerful drugs, that it cooks their brain. That's why they don't realize what's going on in this world, because their brain is gone. They brainwashed.
Yep.
They
right,
are brainwashed.
No, you're right. You're right, and that's what I'm. See, I'm not. But see, I'm not so much mad at our people who just don't know, versus being mad at those of us who is so called conscious community. Those of us who are so called super black power advocate. I mean, damn, we have the responsibility, you know, to go get our people out the fire. That's like your house being on fire and the fireman just being like, I'm not going there. You know what I'm saying? I'm not going there. I got the tools to put the fire out and go in and rescue you and your family, but I ain't going there. That's the same way it is.
That's right.
For those of us in the new Black Panther Party, the Black Power Movement, or what have you, to not go after the black community. We are derelict in our duty, and we allowing these beasts and these agents and these provocateurs to run rampant because we ain't doing shit.
But see, we got to go out there and let the community know about love and a whole lot of love. We got to care love to them.
Yeah, you're right.
Got to take love to them. Nothing but love to them.
No, you're right. I think that's
what we're doing, and I think that that's what we're going to do even more as we organize and unify. I think that we are taking the love to our people. But the best way I can show a hungry belly that I love him or her is by putting some food in that hungry stomach. You know what I'm saying, Queen?
Yeah, help pay that bill. If they got lights out, take whatever you got some buy food. Take half of that and go over there and help them with their lights.
Dig what I'm saying. That's exactly right. I think that's a good idea. That's a new program that should be produced. If somebody can produce it in their city, or if I can find the means to do it, let's do that. Let's put something together where we can put a treasury together or a council together where people who are on hard times, they're going to have rules or whatever the case, but if you have a hard time dealing in these tough economic times, we can have a community fund, intercommunal fund, if you want to call it that, to where people can use it for their hard times and expenses. We should be talking about that.
That's what I'm saying. And see, each one of us brothers and sisters, we can put $5 aside or $10 aside towards that to build it up.
Well, I mean, we should, and let's work on it. I mean, I ain't got to spearhead it. You can spearhead it, but just organize it, and let's get the Black Nation behind that for our people. We can put that up in every single city.
Especially
with them just doing this thing with the taxes, and they cutting off people's unemployment benefits soon. They to eradicate all the food stamps and all that stuff. We are going to need our own treasury, our own exchange,
right,
where we can still thrive and survive as the fall of America takes place.
Yeah, I'm gonna talk to the brother here in Norfolk and see what can tell him. That's what we need to do. I mean, because you got a lot of people that throw $5 and $10 away, $50 away on marijuana.
Right.
And they
right.
throw it
That's
away on alcohol or beer. They throw it away on cigarettes. They can take that part and put towards that.
Yeah, that's real. Well, let's organize it off the air. You got my email. I know you got my Facebook. So hit me up. I'll do whatever I got to do to make it happen.
All right, peace, brother. Black power, much love and myrrh.
All right, peace, Queen. Black power to you. That's Sister Queen Sheba, and I mean, she dropped a beautiful idea, finally. We got to become self-sufficient, because you already know that the white man is cutting us off and has cut us off. Let's think of some other ideas in the future. I mean, think where you are, some things we can do to become self-sufficient. The new Black Panther Party in this war is becoming self-sufficient. I'm telling you straight, our eyes are on property and on land. The Minister Malcolm X taught us through his teachings, the basis of any revolution is land, land control and land. We are after controlling the politics, the economics, and the condition of our community, and that will happen by us controlling the land. And so I'm saying this, help us to spread the wings of the new Black Panther Party. It's not about an organization. Some of us are so damn struck over organizations. We've been misused in organizations. We've been abused in organizations. Or we've just been all the way turned off in organizations, that when you hear us make these kind of cries, you shut down because we're talking about organizing. The Honorable Kwame Ture said that you cannot organize without being a part of an organization. Hell, you look at the ants on the ground. The ants are an organization. The lions and the pride is an organization. The ducks and the geese, they all an organization. But you know why they organize in an organization? Because they know they family. They know that they are family. And they know that they have each other's best interests at heart. They know that they're part of the same community. Sometimes I watch the ducks. Sometimes they'll fight and fight each other and whatever they go through. But they still get right back in line, and they go right back to the organization and the efforts of what they got to do. Same thing for us. We don't have to always agree. It's like the caller called earlier. You ain't got to agree with me. You ain't got to agree with a damn thing I'm saying, but goddammit, do something in your community. If I don't see you doing something for black people, you ain't got nothing to say to me, man. You ain't got nothing to say to the new Black Panther Party. Hell, organize where you are. Organize where you are. help us to stretch out the legs and the arms and the body of the new Black Panther Party across the globe. If you know the white man don't like this teaching, you know the white man don't like this organization, you know he don't like the Panther Party, then here you as a Black Power advocate, a lover of black, should be the first person in line to be a Panther. Man, I'm telling y'all straight, if we allow white folks to be Panthers, they'll be Panthers like it ain't nothing. It'd be a big-ass white Panther Party just because we let their ass in, but we ain't going to let their ass in because this is for our people, man. This is for us. So don't look for the white man to stamp and approve your revolution and your freedom. Stand up in line and do something for self, man. Get behind the program. Dr. Malik Shabazz, Malik Zulu Shabazz, our national chairman, he's not so ego-struck. He's like, I want everybody to fall behind me and do this and do that and the other. It ain't like that. He just wants to see our people free. I, your brother, your national spokesman, Sean Kwali, I just want to see the people free. The new Black Panther Party, we just want to see the people free. That's all we want. We'll take one last call here, and we will close out. 502-650, you're on the air with Black Power Radio. Your question or comment, Black Power.
Black Power, I have a comment, brother. I just wanted to say to you, brother, I don't see how any black person on this line do not agree what the Black Panther Party is trying to do. And, you know, and it's for you. You know, it's for black people. Why can they not believe, you know, agree with on what y'all saying and what y'all trying to do when this enemy is trying to take us out? This enemy every day is plotting and planning some type of trick to do us in, you know. And then these Uncle Tom butt-licking Negroes just don't recognize what's going on. You know, they want to live close to their master. They want to do what their master wants them to do. They want to see us back on the plantation. They want to see us, you know, talking about don't mess up what's going on in America for us. What do you have in America, black man? You know, what do we have that we just that when I say black power, it's going to mess up what you got?
Brother, the Honorable Dr. Khalid Abdul Muhammad, I was listening to a speech he did when he was under some trial and persecution, and he was pushing forward with the Black United Front, and he said that he loved Nat Turner. He said, I love Nat Turner, but he said Nat made a mistake. He said, in Nat Turner's revolution, Nat Turner killed up a whole bunch of white folks, but he didn't kill no niggas. He said Nat's revolution would have been complete if he would have killed some of them Toms that was against the movement. And I mean, it's the same thing. We say everything in the spirit of self defense, but it's the same thing. It's like some of you of our people, man, that y'all don't see stuff for what it is. You don't see for what it is. You are so in love with the white man and the white power structure and the way things are, the ways of this world, and being comfortable as a nigger and a slave, that you would sell people out for two pieces of damn biscuit and a chicken. You would be just like that nigga from Slave Time. You'll sell your people out for two pieces of chicken and a biscuit. And I'm telling y'all that just like the oppressor and the white power leaders are going to be handled by the black nation, these old chicken and a biscuit niggas are going to be handled too.
That's right. That's right, brother. And they would sell us out without the damn butter on the biscuit, you know. And it's sad, you know. It's sad, man, that the way our people are, you know, that, you know, people are mad at you, mad at me, just because we talking black power, just because we talking and telling black people what's going on here in America and that we don't get no justice in this country. And
some of these groups are funded by the FBI, brother. Let me tell you real. Some of these groups are funded by the FBI, and some of these quasi leaders that come up and spot out that don't want to see the success of the new Black Panther Party or any other pro black groups. They funded by the FBI and they're here to cause dissension. It ain't gonna work today. We just read you what Minister P. Newton said. We you know what I'm saying? It's others that quote you the same thing. Y'all are funded by the FBI. You funded by the CIA. The dissension will not work in 2010. I ain't even gonna allow you to cause no beef with the new Black Panther Party, or whatever else. The bottom line is, what are you doing? If you feel like that you got the program, you got it going on, let us see your works. Let us see, you know what I mean, what you're going to do in terms of, you know what I mean, our people being assassinated like Oscar Grant, Mumia Abu-Jamal, and Hungry Little Baby don't have nowhere to go, don't have no food in this mouth tonight. Let's talk about that. Until then, like
that's
I said,
right.
My dear brother, they don't have nothing to say to me. They ain't got nothing to say to you, you know?
That's right. That's right. And you're right. You're right. You know, you know, what about the hungry brother and the hungry sister that's in the ghetto who don't have no food or don't have no electricity? You know, they don't want to talk about that. You know, they just want to talk about, you know, but man, you know, if we equal and if you, man, you trying to turn, you know, you too old to be trying to play the race card. How am I playing the race card? I'm not playing no race card. I didn't start this. You know, I didn't start, you know, racism here in America. You know, this was here way before I was born. You know, against my people when they was enslaving and murdering black people. I didn't start this. So how am I, as a black man, playing, forming hatreds and racism, and then what makes me so angry about the whole thing is that they try to use the Black Panther Party as the Ku Klux Klan. You know, like we are black version of the Ku Klux Klan. And, you know, and I just, you know, and I say this to them, you know, when have we ever burned a black power fist in anybody's yard? When have you ever seen any new Black Panther Party members drag any white people down the street 14 miles until their body parts fall off? When have we ever went over to Europe and brought Caucasians to this country and enslaved them and took them from their name, their religion, their God, you know, their more ways, their four ways? We have never done that. So you cannot tie the statement as we are a new version of a black Ku Klux Klan, because we are nothing like, we are a self-defense group to defend the rights of the people.
Straight up, that's just more propaganda. That's just more propaganda to keep the people away from their liberation. You know what I'm saying? So at the end of the day, that the truth will prevail. The sunshine gonna shine through the clouds. To my people listening, don't believe the hype. Don't you stay away from your people that are fighting on the front lines against this cracker because they say that you will be a part of some black KKK or Ku Klux Klan. It ain't even that kind of party. Would you consider Nat Turner a part of the black KKK? Would you consider Denmark Vesey a black KKK? Toussaint Louverture a black KKK? Out of a Marcus Messiah Garvey? Hell no. You call them freedom fighters. So when you have freedom fighters that are in your midst in a modern day time, right here with you, don't you ever believe what the enemy say. The same thing. If a man or woman won't treat you right, they will not teach you right. And so,
that's right.
Thank you.
That's right.
Thank you, my dear brother. Thank you for your words.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Black power to everybody on the line, even the enemy that's on the line. Black power.
Well, yeah, black power to you and the black power that the enemy gonna feel gonna be is a definite different black power than what we giving to you, my brother. And so, well, we thank all of you all who are with us. We thank you for being a part of this movement, and thank you for tuning into this broadcast as you do. And you need to make that next step if you have not yet become a part of the new Black Panther Party and became a part of the ranks, either general membership or Vanguard membership. You do that. Do that immediately. Go to ndpphq@yahoo.com. You can apply there and say that you want to be a member. You can go to newblackpanther.org. You can apply there. Or hell, you can, you know what I'm saying, hit me up. Hit me at SeanQuali@yahoo.com. I mean, however you want to do it. But get in right now while you still can get in, and we still organizing, because hell, the white power structure, the white power structure is fighting day and night to keep us down. And so they stand up against you, so you got to stand up for yourself. I love you, family, and we want to tell you to tune in again this Wednesday. Tune in again this Wednesday for another edition. You got another Sisters Night coming for all the black queens that are listening. We want to make the Sisters Night a staple on Black Power Radio. It is not fair to always hear from the black man and always hear a black man's perspective, and we never hear from the sisters, or we only hear from the sisters every so often, every so blue moon. It's some sisters. There are sisters in the new Black Panther Party that will fight your ass harder than the brothers will, that'll be more dedicated times than the brothers will at times. No disrespect, but let's just call it what it is. The sisters are do they shine. And so the women's night, the sisters' night, or the sisters' show, let me be correct, the sisters' show will become a permanent staple with Black Power Radio, whether it's hosted by the National Sister Sister Mira Sankofa Kweli or whoever it's hosted by, whoever do it. It will become a permanent staple. And even you sisters who are just out there and you got something to say for Black Power Radio, you get involved with the sisters' show. And so spread the word. Shouts out to Sister C. Agent, the Queen by all means, and the rest of the women that's out there, Lady I Said and others. Hell, y'all get involved. You all get involved with the new Black Panther Party and the Queens, and let's work to build up something for our people that will reach far beyond this society that we're in today and far beyond this condition that we're in today. Much love to you, family. We ask you to join us again every single time we come on. It's 11 p.m. Eastern Time, and it's Black Power Radio. We leave you as we came, always in solidarity, always in peace, and always in self-defense and arms and Black Power.
Until the philosophy which holds one race superior and another inferior is finally and permanently discredited and abandoned, everywhere is war. It's a war that until there are no